everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarponito, and I'm joined here by Zaylee Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Cepeda.
Irishaimase.
And Colin Sparling.
Hello. You know, I think that intro, I think if you took the intro from all of our other episodes, Robert, and like laid them over top of each other of you introducing us, I feel like they'd be pretty damn similar.
Yeah, except for the ones when you go off about cereal.
What's the last time that's happened? What's the last time I've gone on about cereal? Come on.
You know what, though? We are due for a cereal conversation. I don't know if you're trying to open that floodgate now, but it hasn't happened in a while.
Are we talking about serial killers or cereal?
Wait,
grain cereal?
This is the Pacific Northwest.
We're talking about Ted Bundio's.
Ted Bundio's.
Ah, my favorite cereal.
That's my favorite murder.
Scary.
Hey,
TM. TM, 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 TM.
I don't think we can TM that one.
No.
This week we're talking about Tokyo 2019 2020, episode 5, Reiwa, with two exclamation marks specifically.
Which, yes.
Sure. It is very much the Reiwa period.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We are celebrating. It is like I do forget that at this point, you know, in the show, it's a kind of a huge moment in Japanese culture, right? Like this mm-hmm. happened months ago now for us. Mm. But this episode kind of covers that moment where they finally shift over from one emperor to another, and that's kind of like a really big deal.
Yeah, know? I think it was in May-ish, the end of May, somewhere around there. Someone will correct me, but
May 1st.
Yes.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, I feel like Daly, you'd probably know the most about that. But could you explain like exactly what happened there, like why they were celebrating it? Because a lot of English people probably wouldn't understand.
So Japanese time, I guess. I don't know the word to use for this, but essentially you divide things up by eras, and that's marked by who the emperor is. So previously, before this year, we were in the Heisei period before the current emperor's son ascended the throne, and now we are in the Reiwa period. Mm-hmm. And there's like a whole panel of like the smartest of the smart, like people from varying backgrounds that decide what to call the new era. And this time it was taken from a poem about plum blossoms that's really beautiful. And Reiwa was decided, and essentially it means for our purposes beautiful harmony. So that's, if anything, a good omen for the next however many years.
Wow, so, yeah, that actually ran a lot deeper than I thought it did.
It truly is the end of an era. And there are a lot of Japanese people that like might live their whole might live their whole life and not see one of these changes, right? I mean, it's been, 60, 50 years? How long has it been, you know? Like, a long time. So it's like, it's just such a rare event, and it's really cool and it's exciting. And I'm kind of surprised. I would think they would name the era like after just my brain would think like, oh, just be the last name of the emperor. But no, it has its own identity apart from that. It just seems like it's demarcated by when they changed.
Then it would be the same name over and over again.
Well, I guess the first name. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Cool.
Emperor Akihiko abdicated Akihito abdicated. And now we have Naruhito, his son. And I don't know. I think it's kind of cool that they named the eras after something as deep as let's take a look at some old poems, right?
Yeah,
and see what fits, right?
That's cool.
Because I know Heisei, that meant peace everywhere. It was kind of that feeling they were going for, a very harmonic idea.
So you said there's a panel of people, and then that's who decides? That's who decided on the poem?
Yeah, it's like they choose like professors of literature and poetry, and they choose... you know, Japan has this concept of like living treasures, like people that are so talented in their field that the country wants to recognize them as like a living treasure. So like some of those people were chosen, you know, people in the royal family were chosen. It's a big process. It's no one person that gets to decide, because it's kind of like if you name it badly, that's like the curse of the era. Like, you want it to be a very positive, a very good feeling going in.
Yeah, accidentally name it like a word that means like one thing, but it also means like death, die or something.
Yeah, it's like getting to be the cover athlete on Madden every year with the curse.
The Madden curse.
The Madden curse.
the same thing.
You want to avoid that.
I don't know if this is the same thing.
I don't think it's the same thing. So let's get into the episode, shall we?
Let's do it. Open up
with the panel. I think this is really cool. So it planted into my brain. This is maybe something we should think about moving forward. But episode 5, this is the first week where the first episode of this season is live. Like for the people in the house.
You can rewatch it you can rewatch it on Netflix at that point for them.
Wow.
And their time.
So what that means is the interviews are also up. And Yama brings this up, and we covered the interviews a couple weeks ago if you want to check those out if you don't know what they are. But he laser focuses on Haruka because Haruka has said, and I forgot this, I'm glad Yama brought it up, that she tends to covet thy neighbor.
It's the, as Tokui puts it later, it's the grass is greener system.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if it works out. Mm. And now she is playing chess, so to speak.
Yeah, she basically wants, if her friends are in a relationship or what have you, she always wants their significant other. She's jealous of what she can't have.
And this isn't speculation. This is coming straight from her.
She was speaking from experience. Yeah.
She has a tendency to want what others have, I think, is what is close to what she said. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty plain. So that's pretty telling.
At least she recognizes that about herself.
Yeah.
But it's not a... not a good thing to
exactly.
The thing with that is if you recognize that about yourself, but then you incorporate it as like, that's just part of my quirky personality.
Oh,
yeah, I'm just a piece of shit. Yeah, I'm kind of a shitty person when it comes to relationships.
A little bit.
Fair warning. Yeah,
was she talking about love specifically or just things? Because everyone wants things. That's how you kind of figure out what you want, is you see if someone else enjoys it. You know, so but if you're talking about love, then that's problematic, to say the least.
Yeah, like what if you got in a relationship with someone and they're like, yeah, I'm probably gonna cheat on you, but like, hey, that's, I mean, I'm letting you know.
Full heads up.
Yeah, full heads up. I'm full probably disclosure. Gonna cheat on you.
She's been dating a guy for a year and it's like, hey, do you have any friends of yours that have hot boyfriends? Just asking for a friend. Asking for a friend.
Yikes.
Excuse me?
I feel like, is that a subreddit r/ asking for a friend? I feel like that should be, if it's not already.
Maybe. If not, go start it.
All right.
I mean, there is r/ no stupid questions. So
that's true. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. We cut to the kitchen. We start the scene off with the girls in the kitchen itself. And we see Kenny and Ruka, I believe, staring at the ceiling in the living room like they just got blazed out of their minds. It was kind of great.
Yeah. I love that scene so much. And then everyone in the kitchen proceeds to talk like they're not even there.
Yeah, the girls talk a little shit about Kenny. They kind of joke because they've also seen these interviews now, and they joke about how Kenny said, hey, I wouldn't want the girl I like to see me perform live because I want them to fall in love with Kenny the person, not Kenny the musician.
So we have chided him about this on this very show when he said that that's why he doesn't go on early dates to karaoke, because he doesn't want a girl to hear him sing and then like him because of that. And it's like, dude, like, it's kind of sad, right? Because I don't think that this belief that Kenny has just kind of manifests itself out of thin air. Like, I think he's speaking from true concerns he's had from probably maybe one or a couple previous relationships. You know, like, it seems like it's coming kind of from a point of pain.
I don't think you just know something like that or think something like that without having some sort of experience.
Yeah. So it's kind of sad because it's like, listen, I know what didn't work in the past. I know where relationships went, you know, a negative way, a negative direction, and really hurt me. And I want to do what I can to avoid that. And I'm trying to control that from happening again. And so he's just really kind of blunt with like, hey, this is why I'm not going to do this. But it's just, it's not the way you say it. It's how you say it. Right. Because it's coming through. It's kind of comical.
It's 100%. Cocky.
It's kind of like, at least to my memory of the interview, he was a little bit melodramatic about it for sure.
I really liked that Kaori, she's so talented. She's also good at impressions. Like, she's awesome. Her even doing like the body language of like Kenny talking and it's like, well, I don't want anyone to like hear me. Like, she like lowered her voice and was doing like all the like bokuwa, like very male speaking pattern. It was really, that was hilarious to me.
And they, I mean, she, obviously they could hear her in the living room. Like, they yeah. could hear Kenny probably heard her impression. Because that's, him.
Yeah, they point that out later that, like, they're just talking and then they say something like, "Hey, Kenny," at the same volume. And he's like, "Yeah."
So or hey, like, Ruka. He definitely, hey, Ruka. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was Ruka.
It's Haruka. She asks Ruka, "Hey, you want to go to a race? There's going to be motorcycle races too," but he's busy.
And then they respond.
Yeah, he responds, but he's busy that time, right? But so we see one moment of a date trying to happen in this scene. And this is actually kind of a long scene. It goes on for pretty much the majority of the beginning. Shohei comes home, and then they all kind of get together and start celebrating. They pour out some sake. They all start toasting. Shohei says, what's it? Let's move forward, right? Like, into a better tomorrow, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think everyone was laughing because it was like, that's a little dramatic, but
that's kind of who he is. I feel like Shohei's are dramatic on this show.
Yeah. Before we move on, though, I do want to draw attention to the fact that, like, I'm really surprised personally that the hosts don't go out of their way, all of them, to watch the intro interviews. I was actually surprised. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it seemed like Yama was the only one who really watched it.
And Tori.
And Tori. Yeah, but I'm surprised, like, it's not a point for them to sit down and watch all of them so they're prepped for the show.
Yeah, I think they're just so busy. Mm. I mean, I know Tokui, for one, has a lot of work that he does aside from Terrace House, so I think they're just all workaholics, kind of, and they don't have time to binge watch, right? They kind of made fun of Yama because he wakes up early to binge watch Terrace House.
And there also might be, this is just maybe a little bit of a conspiracy theory second layer behind the, you know, behind the music kind of thing. But it could be that maybe they have all watched it, but there's a more interesting conversational discussion dynamic when it's two people revealing the information and everyone else reacting to it.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because all of the hosts definitely have, like, their bits and their characters that they do pretty consistently, and they're pretty forthcoming with making you aware of that, though, too. It's not like everyone's in on the joke. It's like a meta game almost.
Yeah, and I think it fits them because Yama, he researches a lot only because he wants to break people. He wants to find their ticks. Whereas with Tori, she researches a lot because she's kind of like the guiding light of the show, you know. So it kind of makes sense that,
boy, is right. She light.
Mm-hmm. So
she's not the one pure part of all this.
I don't know. She's losing that innocence slowly but surely.
She's regained it because she chided Tokui earlier this season. It makes sense.
I can't wait till Kenny goes and sees that part where the girls are kind of teasing him at the table.
Same.
Because, like,
oh,
we said,
oh,
they,
yeah, he's gonna. I didn't even think
he
about
had to
that.
Been able to hear them, and he's just kind of, as you was putting it, is putting on an air like he doesn't hear it, or, you know, isn't really paying attention or too cool or whatever. So
yeah,
do you think he's gonna care?
I think he's Armand, like I said.
So I think he's going to be pretty passive
to show it.
He's just doggy paddling through it. Life.
He's just doggy paddling through life. I think within the next few episodes, we're going to get a scene of them watching themselves.
Probably.
On the show.
Before we finish off this scene, there are two more dates that kind of get solidified here. One, Kaori reminds Shohei, like, hey, are we still going to Chawari? Do you want to go during Golden Week? And they're like, yeah, let's make it a thing. And Shohei reveals he's also, I guess, writing a column for a travel magazine and asks her to help him out with it. Yet another one of this man's many, many talents.
Dude, this guy must have a really short attention span. I feel like Shohei is just all over the place. It's almost like he has ADD.
You know, he might.
Or
something.
I mean, it's just like every week, like, what's the new thing he's doing now?
Exactly.
It's almost like a
thing
now.
He, like, Robert's called me a serial hobbyist, but this dude's like a serial jobist? Serial, I don't know what you'd call it.
Serial,
like,
careerist?
Something. Something like that.
I like that term, a serial hobbyist. That's a funny concept to me.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I kind of am a serial hobbyist, full disclosure. But I just know, yeah, I don't know what's going through this dude's head. He's like trying to make money in all these different avenues and routes. And does he ever feel like he has too much on his plate? Where does he find time for all of it to get involved with all this stuff? I don't know.
He's a vampire. He doesn't sleep.
Oh, that explains it.
I mean, he's not getting any calls.
Loki kind of looks like a vampire.
Guys. He's not getting any calls yet for modeling, so...
Or acting.
So,
yeah. Fingers crossed, though. I want to see him act. I would really like to see that soon.
We haven't heard back about his detective audition.
That's what I was going to say. I want to see him be a detective. I want to see him be a vampire detective.
No joke. I would watch the heck out of that. That sounds great.
He's going to be the Japanese Blade.
There you go.
Yes.
And one last little bit here. Risako and Ruka. Well, Risako asks Ruka, hey, can you drive me to parkour practice? And Haruka looks a little mad about it, question mark. Very jealous.
Yeah, she's like, her eyes like darting around the room like, oh. Mm. Like, it's very, there's a thousand words in that expression.
Yeah. Mm, parkour practice, huh?
Yeah. And then we cut to the intro with the bad music. And then from there to the kitchen where Haruka is just sitting in the table. She's just chilling. And then Ruka and Risako are together. Like, hey, you ready to go? Let's go. And Ruka signs the board to just say, hey, we're leaving. And he signs it Ruka Risa.
Which is adorable. Mm. That's the ship name. That's a ship name then.
Wow. Oh, yeah. 100% ship name. And... oh my god, Haruka. I always get Risako and Haruka mixed up, dude. Every time.
So does Ruka.
Got
her. No, it's not true.
Look out.
That's not true.
Haruka. Well, Haruka was giving them the eyes, just like staring them down.
You guys really doing this right now?
Yeah, that was some R watch people die inside, to quote a Jackism.
I was almost expecting her to go over and like erase their names. Like,
damn. And like, I don't know what happened. Sorry, my hand slipped. Yeah. It's weird.
Oh, yeah.
But inside, she's like, they're dead to me.
Well, see, now we're looking at this all completely through the lens that Yama wants us to, that she's a grass is greener kind of person. Like, would we have thought the same thing without him saying that? Maybe we were primed. But they are editing it to definitely fit that narrative.
I mean, with those faces that she was making, it was definitely, there was discontent there at the very least.
And so when we cut to the panel, Yu does bring it up where she says, like, I don't think it's jealousy yet is what she says, but it's definitely, what does Yu say?
She's observing.
Does anyone remember? She's observing. That's what she says.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I think even without Yama's framing, we've kind of been led to believe Haruka is interested in Ruka, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
And like, whether it's for the grass is greener or for other reasons, when you're interested in someone and you see that someone being lovey-dovey with someone else, you know, that just breeds jealousy, right? But we cut to the car in the Jag, and I don't know. This is kind of a weird scene for me. Ruka Risa here, right? Like,
very, very revealing here, because we have left last episode with her saying, be my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And we were hoping, like, we kind of got what we were hoping for, where it just kind of got blown over, right? And like, it didn't become a big deal and they just go to the next day. That's kind of exactly what happened here.
Yeah, that's kind of what I expected, especially coming from Ruka. I feel like Ruka isn't the type to really confront someone about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so the scene in the car, even it was a little awkward, but at the same time it was kind of nice. Like they felt very natural around each other. I mean, they were sharing a drink.
Dude, they've grown way closer. That's a thing. The indirect kiss, listen, I agree with Yama here. Like, indirect kisses are a thing no matter how many seasons of Terrace House have gone through. And we need to talk about Santa too before we get too far. But with that being said, that Jag is really nice Jag. It's a two-seater, right? So that's like a Dato car. You know, that's why that's Dato. There at Terrace House. That's not to go to Costco for nothing.
Yeah, you can't. I feel like there. Too, I was thinking when they were in the car, because you know how they pretty consistently show you the shot from the front of the car?
Yeah, it's sharp.
Right? So that implies that there's almost always a van driving in front of them, right? Filming them
Probably behind them too.
Yeah, and so I feel like that would definitely, if you're driving in that situation, you're pretty on edge because of that, right? Yeah. I that would make me really nervous. I don't know. That would make me very self-conscious too. So I feel like if I'm in that situation, I'm pretty uncomfortable. I'm not really acting completely like myself.
This is the part, it was just telling like how close that they got together, Ruka and Risa. Yeah. They have grown close since last episode. And the fact that they are sharing drinks like that, I mean, that to me, I have friends that are females. I don't think I would do that with a friend that's female, personally, myself. Unless it was like, hey, desperate times, desperate measures. But like, if you're just driving somewhere, right? And like, hey, let's share this. Let's share that hat, you know, that with the Velcro.
That's the part that felt the most telling for me. less so than I guess like the indirect kiss. It was like, hey, I want to get you something, and it's like, okay, I like that hat of yours, and then it's like, okay, we'll just like share it.
Yeah,
and it's like that already. That sounds like a couple, because like you share clothes, like you steal, you know, a coat or a hoodie. So
I feel like I definitely still feel Ruka is playing stupid. Not really playing stupid, but he is just kind of, dude, you are setting yourself up for disaster here.
He's, you know, going, he's with the flow.
There's a lot of couple things happening, and I just don't think Ruka's fully aware of what he's doing.
Agreed.
I mean, to me, I kind of think he's kind of being just smooth, cool, calm, collected here. He's kind of like poised in the pocket, because he's not panicking anymore. He's definitely not turning red anymore. He's super comfortable. And I think that, you know, we come to find out later, his feelings might be swaying in one direction over the other.
I don't know. I mean, so while we're talking about this, I think he purely sees her as a friend, and he doesn't realize how she sees him. Because,
right,
like the thing I want to point to is, I mean, this is later on in the episode, but when they're at dinner, they're eating together, and they have that little cute exchange that's like, oh, I want to go rock climb, or I want to go bouldering. Oh, well, I want to go parkour. Oh, well, I want to go skating. And they're like, okay, on a count of three, let's just say what you want to do. Saying no, like that whole thing.
Oh, so cute. Gross.
Okay, so when I saw it the first time, I was like, okay, this is kind of cute. It's a little lovey-dovey, sure. And then when I saw it the second time, I got this weird vibe that these were like 10-year-olds just like playing at the playground. And that made me think,
it is,
Ruka totally sees this as a friendship. That's why he's not turning red, because he doesn't see Risako as a potential partner.
Oh yeah. But Risako, if it came down to it and she said, and Ruka said, hey, be my girlfriend, she would say yes in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Like, no questions asked.
Right.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's going to end a disaster, this whole situation.
I want to present my contrary point here. So why I think he might be swaying, and again, this is a little bit later in the episode, but there's that scene in the boys' room where Ruka's sitting on the floor, and Kenny's on the bed, and Shohei's on the bed.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And they're talking about it. Yeah, and they're talking about it. And I get the sense that Kenny and Shohei want Ruka to ask Haruka out. Right, they want, and they're encouraging this, and you see Shohei also kind of looming at the table again behind his laptop, behind his cell phone, kind of like smiling when he sees Ruka and Haruka speaking together on the couch. But they really want to push that narrative. They're hoping for him because they think that Ruka wants that, and really is, that's an end goal for him, that he just can't muster up the strength to do that yet. But what does he say? Right, he says, well, I think I moved too fast with Haruka. Me and Risako really are, I can't remember the exact wording, but it's really natural speaking with her. It's really comfortable was the sentiment about it. And so, yeah, it could be friendship, but I mean, he said the fact that he said he feels like he's moving too fast with Haruka is, like, why would you say that unless he was maybe considering something with Risako, is my thought.
Yeah, so when he said that, the way it came across to me was he's just overthinking the stuff with Haruka. Right, because I think it's because he actually likes her, he's overthinking everything he does around her. You know, he's struggling to ask her out, and he's really nervous about it. And I mean, he was just having casual conversation, and he's saying that's moving too fast. So, and that's definitely not, it was just riding in the car with her. Yeah. So
there's definitely something to be said for wanting to have a relationship that's more based on like, oh, we're like really good friends, we can like talk to each other, I'm not nervous, versus like,
right,
I cannot function by this person.
Yeah, and like, and that's kind of what I'm getting at, but I don't think he's making those connections in his head yet. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Risako and him being like, she being easy to talk to for him, as opposed to Haruka, where he's struggling to even get a word out in his mind. You know, even though Haruka actually is starting to like him, like, I don't know, it's just this weird, almost will they, won't they, almost cat and mouse sort of, I don't know, it's really strange.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
I think we're just gonna have to wait and see what happens here. I'm of the position that I think Ruka is, I mean, he's still a child, literally, he's 20 years old. I think maybe. For him, romance is this idea of, you know, if I'm blushing around them, that means I like them. And the idea of I'm comfortable around a girl and that means I can date them hasn't really hit him yet. You know, like to him, there's no passion to it. So why would why would that be a romance, right?
I don't know. When I was 20, I mean, I'm only 23, so I'm not that far removed.
Like three years ago.
Yeah, three years. I was pretty emotionally ignorant, pretty emotionally immature even then. I mean, I would say I'm probably still am now, but like less so. But at 20 years old, like I was pretty oblivious,
right?
And still am. So,
well, as per usual, Ruka steals our show every week because that child is just so easy to debate about. But
he is making moves, and it's like he does it. He's like, oh, doing this by accident. Don't mean to make moves, but I'm making moves.
Because he's an idiot. But let's move over.
What if this is the plan? He's smooth as fuck.
Let's move over to Mission Parkour Park. Not a great name, but it's in Tokyo. And this is where Risako goes to practice parkour under her new mentor, in all caps, Taishi. It's just Taishi.
I liked that. Taishi.
Did anyone else notice that when it did start raining, just all the shoes were outside? I was like, are these shoes getting wet? This is concerning.
I didn't notice that, but that's a little strange.
Go back and look at that. I thought it was weird. Yeah. But anyways, some sweet flipping going on here.
That was probably the coolest scene in this entire episode. In the whole season, really. It was, this is what I wanted.
She's athletic, dude.
I don't know why it didn't occur to me that it's like, I always see, like, you know, parkour videos and stuff that it's, like, you know, out in the world, like, just flipping on top of buildings and in parks. But it's, like, no, there's, like, dedicated facilities for, like, practicing parkour.
Yeah, I was in the same boat daily. I had no idea. I was, like, it didn't really click for me that that would be a thing. I was, like, I mean, there's gymnast-type gyms, right, where,
you know,
gymnasts go to practice. But it never occurred to me that, like, dedicated parkour gyms for a thing,
right? Yeah. I mean, as someone who works in business like full time, like, you know, I wondered when she said I want to do parkour. Like, I was thinking, like, well, okay, can you make money from that? How can you do that? Like, where is that? And I guess maybe the money isn't necessarily, I mean, maybe for the top 1% that can get a corporate sponsorship or something like that, do a commercial, maybe that'd be cool. But like, maybe the money's actually in just opening schools and teaching other people how to do it.
Yeah, education.
That's where you make your money in parkour.
That's certainly part of it. I feel it almost kind of reminds me of, to a lesser extent, like wrestling, right? Real wrestling. People that go into like college, they do wrestling. And I mean, not often are they going into like pro wrestling, i.e. WWE. It's more so just like, yeah, they usually go into coaching.
They usually go to the MMA now. What's MMA that? Now.
MMA is usually another option. But yeah, otherwise, though, a lot of them just go into coaching.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Maybe Risako will go into MMA.
Dude, her skills.
Parkour around the what is it, the octagon?
Yeah.
Good job,
Robin. Yeah. I'm proud of you.
But the scene where they're showing her in slow motion, I was like, man, this chick can flip.
Yeah.
She's flipping awesome.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. I dig. Even though apparently that's not good marks for her. You know, she says later on, it's like, I haven't been doing as well in parkour. So I'm like, are you kidding me? Look at you.
I was like, did you see what you were doing?
But I'm sure it might also be like, since I don't know damn thing about parkour. So it looks cool to me, but to a trained
parkour!
Eye, you know, like,
Taichi! I like how also that he tried to show her the one flip and then she just like went ahead like one or two steps. He's like, please don't do something before I teach you how to do it.
Yeah.
Chotto matte kudasai.
But the next scene here, Shohei and Kenny are cleaning the pool. And this is just a weird insight into the way Kenny thinks. Because I think he's a weird guy and I think I like him, but not quite sure. So
he's a little strange, but I like him.
So they clean the pool. Shohei asks, oh, how was the date? And Kenny's first reaction is like, what day? Oh, like the live show?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's fucking cold, dude.
That's telling.
Yeah, but he says he still like, he thought Haruka was pretty. Didn't really say much else beyond that. Haruka walks in, comments on how they're cleaning the pool and leaves. And then Kenny says, this is maybe exhibit A, and Kenny's a weird, maybe leery dude. He says she's even more pretty from below or something like that. Like, she's still cute even from below. She's even pretty,
yeah. Yeah. Okay, man. We get it.
Sure.
That's weird.
Okay.
It's important to be physically attracted to someone. Like, you know, sparks.
This is this is our first indication into what the hell is he thinking, because he does not let that loose very often so far. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know how to read this. Is this that he is interested in Haruka, or does he just think that she's super cute?
Or maybe it's only from below.
I think
only from below is she super cute.
I think that my takeaway was that, yeah, that was kind of his like, hey, yeah, I'm into her. She's really pretty. I would go out with her again. But he is hard to read, man, because he has those moments with Kaori that keep coming up too.
He's as deep as that pool.
You know, it's funny.
It's a very deep pool.
I was thinking it's kind of like a drowning hazard. Like, it's like there's only those two ledges on the edges there. And I was like, damn, for a small pool, it's really deep.
It is. It is very deep.
You can cannonball in there.
I think when I'm thinking back to this episode, we do get quite a few scenes with Kenny in this episode. Like, he gets quite a bit of screen time, all things considered.
Yeah, and I actually like him in this episode.
I do too, but he doesn't do much that's really worth a damn, other than the scene that we'll talk about. Where he sits down with Risako,
yeah,
and he gives her life advice.
Yeah,
I mean, he had a concert, dude. What the hell?
Well, okay, so let's jettison to the.
I mean,
Risako.
He does have a concert.
Yeah, let's jettison to the Risako scene, right? So it's the kitchen. The boys are there. Risako's there. Risako's wearing Ruka's hoodie. There you go. They're basically dating at that point.
I mean, come on,
you know, right?
They're dating.
Dude, he is setting himself up for disaster.
Yeah. If he breaks her heart, that's going to be a super dick.
He's
going to
be the
this
villain.
Point.
Oh, he's 100% going to just smash her heart to pieces.
No, smash maybe, but I don't know about that context. But
got it. I get it.
I see what you did there.
I get it. but this is where also that whole, you know, like, let's say what we want to do at the same time, Sanol thing happens. And then Kenny comes home and Risako gets very excited. And she's like, Kenny, I need to show you something. And this is coming from someone who has watched enough anime to kind of follow Japanese tonality, not quite understand it. Mm-hmm. But she tells the story about how she got all these letters from her kids, which is like the last day of you know, her teaching them. And the way she ends that sentence, it's very like, it's so fluffy, I'm gonna die vibes. That's like the tone I get. It's like, look at all of these letters they sent me, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, okay.
Right.
That was super cool. Yeah, it took her by surprise. And that was really sweet. And that picture of her really did look like her. I was impressed.
Yeah.
And then she says, let's go. Can I pick your brain? I need life advice. You're like, I'm transitioning in life right now. And like, you're an adult, you're 31. Help me out. They do have this lingering shot of Ruka. I think that was the editing trying to make it look like he's jealous. I don't think he has the emotional...
Yeah, the editors like to do that this season, I've noticed.
Yeah, I don't think he has the emotional capacity to do that, though, to feel that.
Wow. Yeah.
We need some drama, guys. We need some drama.
He's unable to feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
this is the scene that you were alluding to earlier, Jack, with Kenny and Risako sitting in the playroom discussing life.
Discussing life. Yeah, and when I was talking about Kenny earlier, I meant like saying stuff that was worth the damn. He got a lot of screen time and he did have the show and everything, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like we didn't learn a whole lot about Kenny until this scene.
He doesn't show his cards very much.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But
yep. I did think it was like very good advice that he gave, though. He's like, I didn't get into music until I was, you know, I forget how old, but like significantly like late in the game, quote unquote. So it was like, feel free to, you know, just explore what you want to do. Don't feel pressured.
This is a Hansan moment, guys. I will put this tag on there. I will give him this tag because he just had really good life advice. He said, listen, like, I started way later. You know, don't worry about it. And she was lucky that she knew what she wanted to do so young, because so few people do. So follow your heart.
Yeah. I think he's actually very wise here, right? And he actually gave her some solid advice that I think would help out even viewers of the show, right? And this conversation ends with Risako asking, hey, do the boys ever talk about the girls and who they like? And Kenny says, nah, not really. And he doesn't really answer her when she asks, how do you feel about the girls? He's kind of like, meh. But
I want to go out with everyone.
Yeah, let's go Costco, basically. He pulls a Costco, but not in a way to reject her. It's just like, yeah, I want to get to know everyone, so let's all hang out sometime. And I just want to draw a parallel here. This is kind of like Hayato and Riko from Boys and Girls in the City, but not creepy because he's not trying to take advantage of a girl who's 10 years younger than him.
Yeah, I mean,
yes,
exactly. They haven't really gone out either. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they've gone on dates.
Right. Let's see. We cut to the panel, and this is where Tokui and Yama argue about the indirect kiss, you know?
Dude. Yama's like, I'm going to bring it up. Or Tokui's like, you bring it up every season of Terrace House. Is this going to continue to be a thing? And Yama's like, yes, every season of Terrace House from now until the end of time.
I mean, this is such a teaser. Like, if I had infinite time, of course, I'd watch Boys and Girls Next Door. And I know a lot of people have been requesting it. But damn it, like, this was a teaser that really wanted me to watch it. Because Sana looks so young, so tan.
Oh, my gosh.
She looks so different. It's crazy.
Dude,
her long hair.
Yeah, the dude that she was walking with, A+, dude. Look,
Daiki, I think his name is.
A1.
Isn't that Daiki?
Maybe.
Because she shows up with him in, I think, Aloha State. Right?
Maybe. I've been purposely blocking as much BGND as I can.
Yeah. I'm trying to, until I actually go and watch it. So I'm trying not to know too much. But the glasses, the backwards snapback, the friggin' long hair, the chocolate ice cream swirl. But it's like, yeah, listen, guys, if you don't think there's something with an indirect kiss, would you share, just ask yourselves, Robert and Colin, would you share a single cone of ice cream with each other?
No.
Fuck no. You wouldn't do that because it's an intimate thing. You know, I wouldn't really do that with a friend that's a girl either, probably.
No.
So, hey, let's get our own.
No, Jack, you don't understand. Even if I were married to this girl for 10 years, that ice cream is mine.
I know.
Dominance over that ice cream.
Just a general rule, I don't share ice cream because I love ice cream and I want it all for me. But it's like, yeah, you got to put your tongue on something that now is the exact shape of someone else's tongue.
You got to tongue down that ice cream. Mm-hmm.
So eloquently put, but it was a funny clip to see, right?
Daily, you're just sitting there with your tongue out.
The next
talking
scene,
about tongues.
We are. The next scene is a twin ring Motegi. Is this racetrack? Drag race track in Tochigi, I guess. Yeah, there's some
a lot of that type of music.
It's really bad.
It's like, this is drag race music.
Yeah.
I've heard butt rock, but I've never heard ass rock.
It's ass rock.
And wow. I think there is a computer, like, motherboard company.
There is
ass rock.
Yeah. I have one.
Yeah. So they just throw a bunch of motherboards at this scene. And
beautiful.
Yeah. And we have, this is where Haruka is doing the drag racing. You know, we see her burn out. We see her take life 1/4 mile at a time, even though it's actually a 6 mile.
One sixth mile.
But so Vin Diesel said quarter mile.
This is where my ignorance, my self-professed ignorance of Japanese culture comes full bore here. I'm like, wait a second. They have drag races. They have American muscle cars. They listen to the same butt rock, ass rock that people here in the States do. And they do this in Japan. I was like, whoa, we are way more similar to Japanese people in America than I ever suspected.
I was half expecting to hear Fuel by Metallica.
Did you guys notice? Go ahead.
I feel like there was some glaring differences, though, from what I've seen from American drag races. There was no one shirtless guzzling Budweiser. Mm-hmm. I didn't see really a single beer belly or an American flag or a Japanese flag for that matter.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that is very true.
Did you guys notice the weird thing about Haruka's car? Anyone notice it?
It has four wheels.
Her wheel is on the left side of the car. Go back and watch.
Oh.
She's on the American side. I was like, is this
well, I mean,
street
it is
legal?
An American-made car.
Is this street legal, though? In Japan.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know if that's like a regulation thing, if your steering wheel has to be on the left or right side. I don't know if that's...
I have seen someone long time ago in the States. I have seen it one time I think it was a British car where the wheel was on the right-hand side of the car.
Interesting.
In the U.S., in Ohio.
Were they allowed to drive it?
They were driving it. I don't know if they were allowed to, but they were in front of us.
I guess as long as you're not going into the other lane, like as long as you can have that mentality.
Yeah.
Right. I guess I don't really see why you couldn't, as long as it's registered.
I just assume if she had a car, even if it is an American car, you know, if she had it in Japan, I would just assume it'd be on the same side as everyone else. So it was a surprise to me.
I mean, yeah, because you can drive tractors technically on the road. I mean, as long as they have all the proper lights and licensing.
Right.
Yeah, mm. it's an interesting thing.
I mean, it is interesting as well, because you also look at the car, and it is in kilometers. Like, the speedometer is in kilometers per hour, not miles, right?
Maybe that's the baseline. Weird. It's like, you can't have that so that you're not like, oh, I didn't realize I was making the calculation in my head wrong.
Oh,
so.
It just said 40. I'm going 40 miles per hour. That's fine, right? No.
40 degrees Celsius. That ain't hot at all. 40 degrees Fahrenheit.
So she ended up actually getting disqualified, right? Because she ended up going at like, it was 11.2 seconds is what she ran on the sixth mile. And so that was too fast, I guess, for her class of cars. So she got disqualified.
What the hell? Yeah, this is not what I know about racing. I thought the whole point was to go fast.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I didn't know that was a thing to have, like, you can only go a certain speed for a certain class of car.
I think it's a lot like boxing, right? You know, there's like featherweight, lightweight, bitch weight, heavyweight, right? Like, there are all these different weight classes.
Hold on.
Yeah?
Hold on. Roll back here.
Heavyweight?
What were those classes again?
Heavyweight?
Featherweight?
Featherweight, lightweight.
Featherweight, Robert?
Bitch weight, heavyweight.
I've heard of bitch weight, but like featherweight?
We've established that Robert doesn't know anything about sports, guys, okay?
Yeah, look, I know kickboxing. All they do is kick each other, no fists. But
No. It's actually only double amputees can enter into kickboxing.
Oh, no. They have the gloves. They have the gloves on their feet.
Tis but a scratch.
Dark, guys. This is getting dark.
Yeah, anyway. So in boxing, right, they have different weight classes. So you wouldn't pair up like a 240-pound mountain of meat against like a 150-pound featherweight dude.
So so you're saying then that she is trying to like kind of game the system here and have a stronger car than she should.
I think she got lucky that last time because that the first call, I think she did two or three races and the first two times she qualified.
Yeah, I don't think it was done maliciously, but look, I've played a lot of Forza in my life. I know everything about cars.
Taught me everything.
At least in the game, they rank cars by like different ranks. Like,
yeah, classes, yeah.
Yeah, classes. So, you know, a C-class car could only race with other C-class cars because, you know, that just makes sense. Like you wouldn't put like a Ford Raptor against like a Lambo.
Yeah, I guess the system worked, right? Because it caught her.
Yes.
Because her car was too strong. She went too fast and she got eliminated. She was salty about it. She'll try better next time.
Yes.
I like seeing her race. I thought it was cool for the first time in Terrace House to have a drag racer and then also to have it be a female was cool all around.
Definitely. Same. And like, so the scene that so what a lot of people don't know is like, so when at the beginning of the race, she actually like spinned her tires out and smoked them. Like she's like burning her tires out and she actually does. You actually do that in drag racing on purpose.
Because what that the tires for traction.
Exactly. So, yeah, basically they put oil on the tarmac and you spin the tires to get the tires slightly melted. So when you pull off the line, the light goes green, your tires have more grip to them. So you're not slipping and sliding.
Mm-hmm. Don't try this at home.
Drag racing.
The more you know.
I liked seeing her with like her buddies, which one man is like somewhere I'd say in his 60s and the other guy is like maybe in his 40s. I don't know. I'm bad with ages, but it's like these are the people that she talks about, like that are her friends that she hangs out with a lot.
Yeah.
And that was just like interesting to see that relationship because she keeps saying that she's like an old man, but I think this really proved it. It's like, yeah, you're an old man hanging out with these old men.
I think they were probably a little apprehensive about her at first because when they first were becoming friends, I feel like she probably, there was moments where she had to like prove herself. Like they were probably just like, whatever. You're just someone who thinks she, you know, something about cars. And then she's like, well, actually so-and-so thing about car inside of car thing, a mechanic, speed drag racing golf.
Hey, I put a gear in my car. I know what I'm talking about.
I changed, my steering wheel once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have a problem with some of the things that I'm hearing from Haruka. So there's like a conflict here, and maybe this is the grass is greener system working its way out naturally. But didn't she seem pretty enthusiastic when she was talking to her guy friends here in the pit lane or wherever it was about Ruka and how he loves Harleys? and how she'll bring him by the shop. Like, that was like a favorable tone, right?
Mm.
So she seems to value when people like the things that she likes. But didn't she also say either last episode or two episodes ago that she doesn't want to, I think she said it to Kenny or something, that she doesn't want to date a professional in her field? Didn't she say that exactly? And I'm just like, well, why, if you like someone, if you value when people like the things you like, why wouldn't you date someone that's a professional, maybe racer or someone in that, or maybe a mechanic or something like that? It just seems weird. And so it's like, maybe she's like Haruka. This is my hypothesis, is that maybe she likes Haruka again just because he is liked by someone else in the house. Grass is greener coming through. It just seems like a weird conflict when she says both those things.
I think it's just, it's more that with Haruka, I think it's a hobby, right? He doesn't seem like he's going to be a professional racer anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they have, I don't think, I mean, it's important to have similar interests, right? But it's just like, I don't know why she would go so far as to say, I don't want to date a professional in my field. Like, why would you draw that line, I guess, is what I'm wondering from her.
I would see that as coworkers. Like, I wouldn't date a coworker is kind of what she's saying.
Right. Maybe it's one of those like conflict of interest sort of things. Like, she wouldn't want to be.
And yeah, just a female perspective here.
Yeah.
So she's in. Yeah, I need a jingle for it. So she's in a very like, her hobbies are in very male dominated fields. And one thing that often happens when women come into male dominated fields is they get mansplained. Up and down everywhere.
Oh, yeah, which is what I was talking about earlier. I think
well,
that happened.
Well, Daly, you
first.
See what mansplaining actually means is that. No, just go.
Thanks, Jack.
I'm illustrating your point.
It. Yeah, no, but so maybe that's where she's coming from when she says that she doesn't want to, she wants to be, have that freedom to be kind of like the expert and not have someone being like, well, actually, like to her all the time.
Yeah.
Ruka's
yeah.
right in that Goldilocks zone because he's just dumb enough to want a Harley but not smart enough to know anything about it.
Right. Well, yeah, because it's not like, you know, he's arguing with Haruka over transmissions and which one is better. You know what I mean? It's not that sort of thing.
Yeah. I get it. So, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. I hear what you guys saying.
Yeah.
So let's cut to the next scene here. We've been lingering on that for a while. We cut over to Omotesando in Tokyo with a little Kaori Kenny date question mark. It's just an outing, maybe. They go to Janu 2, a clothing shop.
Dude, it's a shirt picking date.
It's a shirt picking date. So here's another example.
Help me find a shirt that looks good on me. You can tell me what shirt looks good on me. There's a spot available.
There's a spot available for you.
I feel like a shirt's a little easier to go with than glasses. But yes. there's a scene here. I don't know. This is just another weird thing Kenny says. So they're looking at a white shirt, and Kaori comments about, oh, hey, this is see-through. And Kenny says, oh, I mean, that's good from a guy's perspective. I feel like that's just like a shitty thing to say.
It's just creepery. Creepy status.
I feel like he was, that kind of slid in there, and he was hoping Kaori wouldn't catch it after he said it.
Yeah.
Lol boobs.
Basically.
Yeah. To me, I think it was the way he was trying to flirt with her.
I can't make it.
Not a good way.
It's not great.
Not very effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But then
I want to see your boobs, Kaori.
see through boobies.
Yeah. Well.
they cut over to Nakamaguro. They go to the Good Table. Interesting name for a restaurant where they eat burgers. They talk about what it's like to go touring, what it's like to compose BGM because you have to compose BGM.
That burger was huge. It was massive. She couldn't even bite it.
Kaori does two burgers in this one.
She does. But in this, the main point of this conversation is they kind of talk about that intersection between art and money, which Kaori comments, not many people talk about that. Passion alone doesn't get you anything.
You know, this, yeah. Right. What's up? Isn't that Finn on punk rock NBA? That YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I mean, he brings this up a lot too, where it's like, it's kind of an interesting concept where if you're to be considered a sincere, true, authentic artist, you're not allowed to also want to get paid for said art. And he brought that up on a pretty interesting YouTube video. And it's like, dude, like, this is like, you got to eat, you got to keep a roof over your head. You have to focus on what is going to, you know, appeal to people.
Pay me.
Heaven forbid you make a dime for your effort and your blood, yeah, your sweat, your tears, you your art. Yeah, yeah, it's like, come on. Like, it's just like a, it's like that crab mentality that also he brings up as well, too. It's a cool YouTube channel. Just want to shout out real quick.
Well, to get back to the exchange between Coyote and Kenny, so it's, I think it's Coyote that says, like, yeah, I'm happy that you're not afraid to talk about money. Isn't that what she says?
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's refreshing to hear you talk about money with your art because, I mean,
not a lot of people do. Yeah, yeah.
No one does that.
I guess that's cool with Kenny because he talks about what he does from a practicality standpoint.
Mm-hmm. You know, they just vibe really well. Like their worlds, it's a Venn diagram. You know, they definitely have a lot in common and are able to speak really freely about that.
Yeah, and Coyote,
I don't think she's hurting for money though.
Yes, that's the thing, right? Is we've learned that Coyote is a rich person, very rich person. We've seen it on the subreddit. I've read this one Medium post. I wish I could remember who wrote it, but they kind of looked at the really like nitty gritty stuff about the translation, and it's like the fact that Coyote didn't know what Tamago Kake Gohan was is like an American not knowing what PB&J is.
Oh, it's like hoity-toity.
I mean,
that makes sense. Yeah.
Right. So it's like she's so rich. She's like, I would never eat a peanut butter jelly sandwich. I don't even know what that filth is. I mean, not that, like, she wouldn't even know, like,
she wouldn't even know like what the like a cost of like a gallon of milk would be.
Yeah.
Because she's never bought one herself in a way.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that that's her. I'm just like, you know, putting the metaphor forward.
Like, she was just at Paris Fashion Week, I think, which is like a huge, like, you need to have money and or connections to get into that.
And status.
Yeah, Chanel. She was at a Chanel fashion show.
Yeah, so
Damn.
She's got money. But I do think it's great that so far in the show, she doesn't come off as like hoity-toity, snooty. Like,
no, she's never really condescending, but she does leave a breadcrumb trail that's very telling. About where
the
she
only
came
time
from.
She was condescending is when she's making fun of Kenny to the other girls at the table.
Yeah, man. But there is, it's at least it's not condescending. Like, oh, he makes no money. Ha, ha, I have a lot of money. Ha, ha. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But she does. She does pay for this date. She does insist. They do the check dance, and she insists, and she gives the waiter a diamond encrusted sapphire preferred traveler, all expenses paid, ultra awesome credit card.
No. But she does. But she does like reach over and is like, "No, here."
Yeah.
While Kenny's like digging in his wallet for cash.
Yeah,
dude.
Kenny's like, "I'm the starving artist. You're loaded." So
I really liked that though about her. I don't know. That made me like her more. And it's just because she asked him out. She's like, "Here, I did it. You get me next time. I'm gonna buy a ton of food. Don't worry." She had a really cool,
sense
of humor about it.
No, yeah,
she had a good sense of humor about it. And I don't know, like, gift giving is a love language, and you know, food is a love language too. So I felt it. I was like, wow.
She's very like, I mean, even though we did kind of find out that she comes from a well-off background, I don't really have a bad thing to say about her though. Yeah. You know, she's very humble and she's very kind.
Love
so
Coyote.
Far. So
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, she doesn't have any flaws so far that I can see at all.
Right. Next scene I want to talk about, we're at Yuigahama in Kanagawa. Wow, I'm tired. They're at the beach and it's Coyote and Haruka. They're together and they go to a place called Good Mellows, where they have another burger together, and I don't know, this conversation is an interesting one, you know? We have Coyote, she recalls her date with Kenny the other day about the one we just talked about, and Coyote saying, yep, it's getting even easier for me to talk to him, which I'm thinking she might be the only girl who thinks that. Risako maybe a little bit after their, like, mentorship discussion earlier, but definitely Haruka is just like, I don't get Kenny.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Haruka definitely does not get Kenny. I think that conversation is only pushing Haruka further towards Ruka. Because, you know, it's one of those things where the more you talk about the person that you like or say dislike, I guess, in the situation, the more you kind of come to realize and it kind of manifests.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they also don't waste any time in making fun of Kenny again for what he says about not wanting someone to, you know that he is a singer in Spicy Soul.
Subashi Soul.
Right.
And they laugh about that again, and it's just like at every opportunity. It's almost kind of becoming his I'm divorced with a kid.
Oh my God.
Kind of thing, he has, to be fair, he doesn't really bring it up that often past the interview.
Right.
It's not those levels yet, but I mean, it's getting there. If it keeps going on, hopefully something happens with Kenny.
Right.
Please, something happened with Kenny. Please. I need
this.
Well, something does happen Hurry with up. Kenny. He performs. We get to see him perform a few songs.
Whoa.
We see...
Okay, so...
Well, everyone's audience, in the crowd except Risako. Yeah.
That audience is like, at least the first shot, it was like 90% female. You saw there were, you know, probably about 10%, 15% guys is what I was seeing. And the crowd just seemed kind of low energy. I don't know. It was an early show, right? It was like 5:45, but it was a packed house.
Yeah.
Right. But the lighting, as someone who used to do that, right, sing, I used to be in Kenny's position before. Like, the lighting was just straight on him. It was like really bad lighting, really bad sound. It was just like, I don't know. I was like, kind of, it was a weird.
Yeah, that's funny that you brought that up, because we were, we watched the episode again to jog our memory. Me and Robert did for this episode. And noticed that, like, it was basically all keyboard and vocals on the mixing.
Almost no drums. There was like no drums.
You couldn't hear the guitar worth the shit.
No. And his vocals were on top of everything.
Yeah, on everything. So it's like, it's almost like they were using the ambient mics on the camera and just like had it right on the PA where his vocals were coming out. Mm. And then, yeah, the lighting was shifting constantly in the room, not only on the stage, but in the on the crowd too. And I think that's due in part because it was sunset, right? So like lighting changes a ton during dusk.
Right.
But yeah, like overall, I thought Kenny in some parts of the songs, like he almost came across flat a little bit.
He was a little pitchy, I would say. I don't think he'd get very far, you know, in a singing competition. But I mean, he's good enough. He, no, he has it a wasn't good falsetto. Bad. He has a good falsetto, but I mean, you know, for as far as Terrace House musicians go, this is a subject that comes up on the show as well, too. Just because you're a musician does not make this easier for you. Actually, musicians have a really bad history, a bad, what's the word? A record, basically. Record,
yeah. No,
for,
I get it.
Yeah, for music. How they're... No, I didn't mean it that way, but and then they didn't even remember the old dude's name. They called him Curry Guy.
That was a joke.
Oh,
that was 100% a joke.
You know, Curry guy. And then they could barely remember Shunsuke or
Masao.
Oh, I forgot his
Yusuke
name
already. Yusuke is the one that they don't remember.
Yusuke, I said Shunsuke.
Because Yama described him immediately as ukulele virgin.
Dude, I feel bad, man, because he still watches the show.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I will say though, like it definitely that place was packed. The Spicy Soul show was packed, and I think part of that was definitely like the whole Terrace House thing. I think the producers kind of put the word out about the show, and they pulled a little bit of a crowd because of that.
And the thing is about Yusuke, just as pull this out real quick, he still follows Terrace House very closely after his time in Aloha State. You know he saw that episode.
Oh yeah.
Where he got called the ukulele virgin. I'm just like, oh
dude.
Rough.
Daily, you need to watch Aloha State just for the Yusuke arc.
Eventually.
The Yusuke arc is just ridiculous. That's the beginning of the show too. It's close to the beginning.
It's like the first episode. I was gonna say, I know
who we're talking about.
Like, oh, okay. Like,
he's one of the first people, isn't he? I've seen the introduction, yeah.
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 Good old Eden Kai.
Oh, he gets done so dirty.
Yeah.
No, I like him.
No spoilers.
So let's cut to the very last scene in this episode, in the kitchen with Shohei and Kaori and Haruka. Kaori says she's going to Karuizawa. That's cool.
Hey.
That's just neat.
Shout out, opening your doors.
I mean, like, you know, we visited Shonan before, right? And, you know, I guess, has anyone gone to Hawaii since Aloha State? I can't think of any time. But, you know, I mean, like, they visited old Terrace House stomping grounds before. I just think it's, like, really... For us, it's kind of cool because, you know, Kadoe's always where we started. And it's like, oh, cool. She's going back there. See some friends.
Yeah.
The ghost of Yui.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Yui's the friend.
Don't open.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Shit.
She's there staring.
Tomodachi Janai.
Judging quietly.
Yeah. But Haruka says, oh, I need something to do this weekend, but... Everyone at the table seems to be busy for that weekend, but Shohei does say, again, another one of the things he wants to try to do in his life, I want to learn golf. Haruka, can you teach me golf, please? So they make plans.
So they go to a driving range.
Not yet.
They make plans too, anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, they make plans. Let's go to a driving range. And I love how Haruka's first question is, oh, do you have clubs? Like, assuming someone who's getting into a hobby is like, oh, do you have like, the expensive thing you need to do it?
Ellipses, can't you rent them?
Maybe she was quietly trying to shoot it down.
Yeah.
Do you have clubs? We don't have clubs, no. So we can't go.
I think that this was good. I'm glad that they're going out though, because I feel like ever since the beginning of this season, there's just been a little bit of headbutting, a little bit of tension between Shohei and Haruka. So hopefully, I hope this is a way for them to sort of put that behind them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And get to know each other a little
bit. Bury the hatchet with the clubs.
Oh, man. Maybe I just want chaos, guys, because I want this to go really bad.
The clubs.
I want this to go really bad.
I kind of want it to blow up. Same.
Yes.
Oh, wow. God. I hope not.
Just for the funnies. That's all I really want.
Yes.
Rustle some jimmies.
But the last scene here, this is the cliffhanger they leave us on, which I think is a little weird, but whatever. Ruka comes home, and he's mature now because he has darker hair, and it's a little bit trimmed. So he's all grown up.
I'm not going to lie, guys. My heart went a little doki doki when that black hair came out. I was like, oh, he looks really? Older. Yes, I was like, he looks older. He looks a little more mature. He looks a little more put together. I thought it was a good look for him. I thought it was a good move. I think the girls are going to respond to it. I thought it was a good tactical move on his part. Again, this guy is way smoother than he's letting on.
You know,
he's definitely drawing attention to himself in this scene. I'm neither here nor there about the hair itself.
Yeah, but same. I was just like, all right.
I mean, when I saw the hair, I thought this is the fifth Final Fantasy 15 character that they didn't reveal. Because he looks like he'd fit in that Audi R8 so good. He'd
be also, like, his coif there, his hair looked very deliberately just too long to cover his eyes, right? Yes. Like to go over his eyes. Like he's hiding behind his hair.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like it was almost bullshit when he's like, oh, well, I meant to do more of a cut, but we ran out of time. Like, no, dude, you wanted that cut.
Yeah.
Who leaves the salon without exactly what they want? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. He and Haruka sit on the couch. They fantasy shop for Harley's for a little bit. And then Haruka says, hey, I want to bring you to the shop. When are you free? And they come up with some times. And then she leaves to go to bed. And the final shot in this episode is of Ruka laying down on the couch with, like, his arm over his eyes, you know? And then a cute little smile, a little crack of a smile. At this point, I'm like, you are Light Yagami from Death Note. And you, like, your plans are all falling into place. It's all going according to Keikaku now, isn't it?
All according to Keikaku. Keikaku means plan.
My machinations are seeing their fruition.
I think he's just on a quest to get to the Eternal Mangekyo Sharingan.
He needs to kill his brother. He needs to kill his brother.
He's good.
Yeah.
Man. You guys lost me so hard.
It's anime.
It's just a step on his plan to access the infinite Tsukuyomi.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks for clearing that up, Colin.
That explained it.
Anime.
Yeah, basically, he's become an anime character. We've alluded to the fact that he's kind of a shonen protagonist, and this black hair just... God, it's so anime.
Guys, it's only the most powerful version of the Kekkei Genkai. I mean, you guys don't know this.
Y'all, okay. Thanks, Naruto. Stop.
Thanks, Naruto. But yeah,
someone on the internet is very happy you're saying all these things. They're like, these guys are dumb. They don't know what the Kekkei Genkai is.
Oh, these guys know about one of the biggest anime to ever exist. Awesome.
Hey, listen. Everyone was Naruto running into Area 51. This is a thing.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows Naruto now.
It's real. Okay.
It's mainstream, y'all.
But that's,
I know this enough, yeah.
That's the episode. Y'all have any predictions about next one?
Well, Haruka seems pretty busy. She's got time on the slate with Shohei, time on the slate with Ruka. Those are pending. And then also, Shohei's busy, too. He's got time on the slate with Haruka, and now he's got time on the slate with Kaori, too, right? He asked her out and said he has to write, and then he has to, we're going to go on this date to that one bar anyways. Do you want to come with me earlier in the day? I have to do all this other stuff. So that's like a day trip, day date kind of thing he's got going on with her. So there's two dates, at least on the slate, that I can think of off the top of my head. And I thought this episode was very eventful because we see a lot of people in their natural element. Finally, we've been building up to the drag race. We've been building up to the concert. You know, we're seeing a lot of and we've been building up to the parkour. It all was revealed this last episode. So pretty chock full, packed, eventful episode.
Yeah. And a lot of stuff happened. A lot of scenery changes. Like, I mean, it's funny because I think the first time I was watching the episode, I was like, I feel bad for the camera crew because, good God, they had to go everywhere in this episode. You know what I'm saying? They had to set up and tear down for so many different places. They were riding in the car. They were getting the beat shot. They were traveling all over Japan.
Dude,
for this episode.
Get a GoPro. Yeah. Get a GoPro on Risako while she's doing parkour. Let's do this.
Yes.
Dude,
that's my wish list
Cool.
now. That's on my wish list.
Same.
Yeah, for sure. I think Risako and Ruka. Tick and time bomb there. When is it going to blow up? Yeah, tick, 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 tick. Clock's ticking.
Only a matter of time.
Yeah, I just it's a matter of when are we going to see it? When are we going to see it blow up?
Nah, to use the parlance of the younger generation, I ship these people now. I want them. I see love blossoming here.
I want it to work out.
I see love blossoming between. I think it's going to happen with them too. I think there's going to be. I think Haruka's not going to go down with without a fight. I think there's going to be some
drama. It's not going to be pretty. Haruka's going to get pulled into it. It's going to be a huge thing between those three.
Yeah, but there is a triangle here. But I ultimately want Risako and Haruka together.
And I think it's going to be one of those things where like Ruka's not going to know what to do in that situation. Because it's going to end in, like, two girls fighting over him.
Yeah. Mm. And this is totally off the wall, but I think it'd be interesting then if it got turned around on him because he doesn't know what to do or he doesn't want to do anything about it. Mm. But then they're, like, mad at him because it's like, you need to make a decision. You're being very wishy-washy.
Yeah. I can see that, too. Or maybe, maybe it did. It does turn into one of those. And then Risako and Haruka are like, Ruka, you need to do something. You need to make a choice. But then he doesn't do anything. And then so they said, they end up just saying, fuck you. And then Haruka and Risako become friends out of it.
Yes. And they start dating and live forever together.
Yes.
And the last thing dreams. I'll say, my other prediction here is that I want Kaori and Kenny to get together. But I think what's going to happen is that Kenny's just somewhere. He's just, again, in action. He's not going to be really forthcoming with his feelings, and I just think Kaori's going to just maybe lose patience with that. I'm talking like long term, right? And so I think there might be a spark there that just kind of fizzles and it's over. And then I kind of think that Shohei and Haruka might be, one of them might be the first to leave eventually. I wonder if someone will leave here in part one, right? Because we only get the first 12 episodes right now on international Netflix. I wonder if someone will leave then. I mean, certainly people have left it within 12 episodes before.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know. But I'm guessing now is that Haruka or Shohei, one of them will be the first one.
So as far as for me for predictions, some different ones. I think, at least I want, a blossoming mentorship relationship between Kenny and Risako. I don't want it to turn into a weird, like, dating thing.
No, it doesn't seem like that, even though she's moved by his lyrics.
Yes, yeah. I think I just want to see them, because like Risako is in this period, right, where she's, you know, changing a lot about her life, and Kenny does have a lot of experience in it, and I just want to see that kind of grow and be something pretty cool.
It's definitely platonic, I get from them, for sure.
Right. I want to see more of Kaori Shohei. Because like now that we know how loaded Kaori's family is, I'm very curious. Like it puts in a new light to me how she sees Shohei's, like, I'm trying to do everything, right? Because at the end of the day for her, she could have not become a successful illustrator and still probably had money to fall back on. You know what I mean? So like she did take a courageous leap, but with like 20 pounds of padding under her. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah,
she would have been safe. Whereas with Shohei, he's constantly taking leaps, right? And it's kind of like, which one's going to be the one where he sticks the landing?
Right, that's what I'm saying. He's not putting a whole lot of energy into one thing.
Right. So I want to see more of their interactions. And finally, and this is just a guess based on the name of the next episode, I think Haruka's going to do some shit.
What's the name of the next episode?
The name of the next episode is The Grass is Greener on the Other Side.
So she's going to get nefarious.
Oh, she's going to do some shit. I'm expecting.
Oh, damn it.
Like,
bro.
Dude, I'm excited.
Jesus.
Same.
Jesus.
But I want to go see that episode right now. So I say let's wrap up the episode this one, shall we?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Okay, guys.
Yeah. So, hey, this has been our episode of Tadaima. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, any theories, or anything you think we missed about this week's episode, please email those things to us at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. Next Tuesday, we're going to cover the sixth episode, The Grass is Greener on the Other Side. So if you haven't seen it yet, probably go watch it. You've all probably seen it because everyone binges Terrace House but us.
We're the only four.
We're the only four in the world.
Yeah.
We have self-control.
No, it's terrible.
Just like
terrible.
Unlike some people.
I'd love to give a big shout out to the people on our Discord, too, for not spoiling us on the episode.
Thank you, guys.
When they easily could. But you guys are great, and I'm glad you guys are engaging.
Yeah, no, what up to the Discord? Shout out to everybody on there. You guys are awesome. Make me smile every time you guys post funny shit. It's awesome.
For sure.
But also, feel free to throw spoilers up there. Just flag them. Just flag them. That's all we ask.
Mark the spoilers, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're getting close. Give us like 6 more weeks, 7 more weeks, and we'll be able to talk spoilers about part one, right?
Yes.
But yeah, I guess, you know, this is also just a shout out if you want to join our Discord. Link's in the below. You know, it's fun, we think, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yes. But yes. Yeah.
So there's some shit posting happening. It's all good fun.
Same.
Yes.
But yeah, this has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itekimasu. We hope you enjoyed the show. You can follow us on Instagram at Tadaimagram, on Twitter at Tadaimapod, and check out our YouTube channel, Facebook group, and the brand new Discord server, all linked in our show notes.
Yeah, I think all of us are like getting over the sickness.
The big sick.
Yeah, because, well,
it's a good movie.
I just got over the sickness, and Robert just got over sickness. Everybody at work was getting sick.
Colin, I'm down with the sickness.
Dude, I never knew that that song would prevail decades, transcend eras. When I first heard that song, I was in a Virgin Megastore at Easton Mall when they had Planet Hollywood and Virgin Megastore there. It's not there anymore. But I'd go there and I'd listen to shit like on the wall, and there's fucking Down with the Sickness. I was like, oh, that's a cool song. Here we are fucking 20 years later, still.
It's a meme.
The youth of America still talk about it.
Can we just start like that?
Do you feel it? Oh, shit.
Of all the songs to persevere through new metal, man. Damn.
That must be, you know, waiting for marriage. That's holy. Then just like never fucking even after you're married. That must be doubly holy. Have you ever seen that? Like, it's like a Hard Times article. It's like after dinner, when they start kissing, they'll pull away and Shannon will mist herself with cold water in order to take the edge off while Steven eats a raw potato in order to quell his arousal.
What the fuck?
That's good.
Yeah, you know, when you get married, that's when you get the eyedropper out, and that's just when the guy leaves the cup in the room, and then you go in the room later and babies.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. I didn't know where you were going with that. I was like, eyedropper.
I am really perplexed.
Wow.
Is that a fucking makeshift test tube baby?
Sorry, I meant turkey baster. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Are you feeling a little like you're not as much of a man when you said eyedropper? Like you need, no, I've got a big, I'm packing big. I mean turkey baster. I got a turkey baster down there, man.
Canadian squirt gun.
At what cost, guys? At what cost?
Guys, I bought a humidifier. Does anyone have any tips as to how to not get everything in my fucking room soaked?
Dude, wall mount your humidifier.
Frame it.
How?
Like get one of those square like Malik, or I can't remember what they're called.
Rami Malik?
Mm-hmm. No, like those squares.
Get Rami Malik to hold up.
Let's just take this.
Oh, hey, Rami Malik. He's like, why am I holding this? Rami Malik, I pay you enough. You were good in iRobot, but you weren't that good.
That's hilarious. He was in Yo Robot, wasn't he? The Spanish version.
Yo Robot.
Yo Roboto.
Yo Roboto.
That movie in Spanish is Yo Robot.
Yo Roboto. And this is El Nino, which is Spanish for the Nino.
Oh fuck.
But,
rest in peace. But
seriously,
Chris Farley.
You could get one of those square shelves from IKEA. It's like $5. Put it on your wall, like above where you sleep, where your head is, and then plug it in.
And then just have it drop on you randomly.
Then it would just like then you just be like in a rainforest, yeah.
And then I wake up, my sheets are soaked.
What else is new?
Does you're that happen often?
You're single. What else is new?
Got him.
I'm single and I always sleep in the wet spot.
This is filthy, guys. This is filthy. Filthy.
Gotta stop. Leave your eyedropper alone. Turkey baster.